Jones takes the snap, drops to throw. Pressure comes and down goes Jones at about the 32-yard line. Guess who again? Bryson Armstrong. Jones takes the snap. Here comes the pressure. Down it goes. Ball comes loose at the end of the play. There's a scrum and a scramble. And guess who? Bryson Armstrong again, and it's all the way back at the 46-yard line. Chandler looking over a four-man front, takes the snap, option play starts far side, pitch Shivers, first down and more, five, into the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Trey Shivers! Little inside handoff fake by Jones, gonna air it out far side of the field. It is intercepted in the end zone by Keon Roman. Keon Roman has his second pick of the game. Final Word Podcast, and this is the bye week for the Kennesaw State Owls as they improved to 2-1 with a 20-14 win at Alabama State last Saturday. Brian Giffen with Nathan McCreary, the other two members of our broadcast crew off on various other assignments. Who knows where Tutan is, landing the chopper somewhere,
right.
I'm sure. But, Nate, obviously it's good to have you here. We always look forward to doing these, and you know, on the good side, obviously the Owls improved to 2-1. They get that first road win. You could make the case, certainly, they could be 3-0. But the obvious elephant in the room is kind of, it's become a bit of a pattern here early in the year to build up a nice lead in the first half and then struggle a bit in the second half.
You know, that first game is always the big question mark. You know, what are you going to see coming out? And this clearly was the toughest game, the opening game of the season for Kennesaw State, playing the number 19 team, Samford, on the road in their house. And the Owls, we felt, dominated that game for one half. And then they came out, that long lightning delay, which was nearly 3 hours, and they came out flat and ended up losing the game. And that was a big – that's kind of a benchmark. I hate to say that the first game of the season was kind of a benchmark there, how they're going to play in the second half. And, of course, Coach Bohannon wasn't happy about it. They come back at home. They've got Tennessee Tech. You feel like you can shake that loss off. And they did for one quarter. And they had to struggle and claw to win that game after giving up a lot of yardage and having a lot of penalties there in the second half. And then the same thing happened at Alabama State. The Kennesaw State Owls dominated the first half, had a little bit of some hiccups there in the first half. In the second half, they came out, scored only 3 points, and had lots of penalties, too many turnovers. And again, the tail of two halves thing has got to be something that, you know, coaching staffs around the league are looking at and saying, can Kennesaw State pull it together?
Well, now they have, of course, the 2 weeks to get ready for the next game, which, of course, will be a home game here. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But, you know, the one thing that's encouraging, we certainly have seen that these players, the majority of these players, have been four-quarter guys. So you hope it's just kind of a blip on the radar and it's something you can grow and get better from and get behind you. But, boy, I mean, it's alarming when you build up that big of a lead. And I felt, and I know you did the same way, that they really dominated Alabama State. They were poised on multiple occasions to pretty much step on the gas and put them away. Yet here Alabama State was, with a minute or so left in the game, driving into your end of the field, a touchdown and an extra point, and that turns into a full-blown disaster, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it was one of those games where, I mean, I was on the sidelines. You could feel the Kennesaw State Owls weren't comfortable all game long. There was no real flow to the offense early on, and once they came out in the second half, you had the lead, you felt good about it, but they just didn't really put it together there, and it just, you felt like on the sideline, not panic. It's not panic or anxiety. Just it, they felt out of sync, and you could feel it, you could see it, and they played like it.
Coach Bohannon said after the Tennessee Tech game that he wasn't pleased with the way his defense played. But you turn that around a week later, and obviously that defense is the reason we're sitting here talking about the Kennesaw State Owls being 2-1.
Yeah, this defense has been very impressive, and you can't start the conversation unless you're talking about Bryson Armstrong, the redshirt freshman out of Kell High School, Marietta local kid, on the season. He's got 25 solo tackles, 31 overall. The kid's been playing fantastic. A couple interceptions. He had a forced fumble. He has a nose for the football, and he's really been driving. You and I got a chance to talk on the way home from Alabama State. some missing pieces coming in. Well, he's filled that void, and that's always what you want to look for early on in the season. Who's going to fill those voids coming in?
Well, you know, there were question marks, too, about certainly the secondary where you move on a Derek Farrow and you move on a Dante Blackman. I think those have been answered. And then something you never see coming are how guys are affected by injury. You know, Tenarius Portress has not played in a couple of games in a row now, but Justin Marcus has stepped up and done a good job. And, you know, by and large, it's funny how it all evolves. You know, you'd have thought we didn't know much about Bryson Armstrong a year ago. We saw him on special teams. We certainly knew what they told us on signing day the year they signed him. But, man, what a monster first three games he's put together.
Yeah, and he has a nose for the football. And I got a chance to talk to him, just ask his preparation, what is it about his preparation that he puts himself in good spots? And you know what reality is? Some players just have it.
Yeah.
You know, they have that it factor, and Bryson Armstrong's one of those players. When you watch him, he's got an it factor about him. He's always around the football. He's always there when you need something to happen and make a big play. I mean, his plays have come at really important times in the games. He's just that player right now.
We talk about anomalies and or trends, and I would hope and certainly think, based on what we've seen over the 3 years, that you know, the three turnovers in successive possessions is more of an anomaly than a trend.
Yeah, and it's got to be. If you want to be successful, especially as you're approaching Big South Conference play, holding on to the football, valuing that possession, because Kennesaw State and Coach Satterfield for Tennessee Tech said it best, this team is hard to beat when they play their game. When their game is grind the football, long possessions, long drives, you know, pounding it in, short yardage type stuff. Well, if you turn the football over, man, you're really not only putting your defense in a bad position, you're out of your game plan. And Kennesaw State, you know, being the spread option offense, it is who they are. That's the critique about the spread option. They are who they are. Everyone knows it going in. And if you get outside of that, man, you have a hard time putting it together and finding any rhythm.
Well, and that's one of the things, obviously, that the turnovers did in this last game. I mean, you think about one of the strengths of that offense, aside from the talent and aside from the plays and aside from how in the world do we cover and account for everybody, the other thing it does is it grinds teams down. And all of a sudden, you get into a three possessions in a row situation where you turn the ball over. You're not only giving that team some life and you're giving that team the ball and giving that team the momentum, but you're not grinding them down. What you're actually doing is grinding down your own defense, which thankfully for the Owls stepped up and had a huge game.
Yeah, that and what happened on the turnover, which was returned for a touchdown, man, you talk about swing and momentum, and then it got the crowd back into it.
Yeah.
You know, they're only one touchdown away from taking the lead, and the defense didn't have to come back on the field. I don't want to say that the fumble for a touchdown was fortunate, but it didn't force the defense to get back out there and grind. It allowed the offense to get back out there and try and find some type of rhythm. But, yeah, those turnovers, man, it's a big – turnovers and penalties right now, I think, if you ask Coach Bohannon, the things that they are going to focus on, they have Focus Thursday here, I can promise you turnovers and penalties is going to be on that list.
Well, the penalties in this game, this most recent game, there were fewer of them, but they still happened at such critical times when, you know, you convert a huge third down play, say, or you get them off the field on a third down play. They seem to happen in critical times like that that exacerbated the problem.
Yeah, this team has had 24 penalties for 271 yards. I mean, you're approaching 300 yards in three games. Man, that
is 100 yards a game.
That's 100 yards a game. You can't have that. They're averaging 90 yards per game in penalty yards. And we haven't seen that of a Brian Bohannon a team. So I'm sure it's grinding on him. But all the confidence in the world in this coaching staff to just kind of you know, get it together, squared away, and we'll see what happens as the rest of the season continues. But that is going to be a big area.
You have not only one, but two Focus Thursdays. Maybe you focus on turnovers on one of them and penalties on the other one prior to coming back here to take on North Greenville for the next home game on Saturday the 30th. You know, the other thing that we have to touch on in this game, we didn't know it at the time, but Daniel David took over early in the second half for Chandler Burks. I don't think it's certainly not something you fault David for, but he was in there kind of coincidentally as the turnovers happened, and that's one of those that we didn't have any idea what was going on. on at the time. We weren't really told that Chandler had banged up his ankle, but that's another area where the bye week is of a big help. An ankle injury, unless it's a high ankle sprain, one of the lingering types, usually a couple of weeks, a guy's going to be okay to play. And it's worth noting that even when he wasn't in the game, he was walking up and down the sideline with the vest on, you know, helping the offense
right.
out.
That's the confidence you take away from someone who's not on the inside, is that he stood next to Tommy Bryant and was giving signs. He was on his feet the whole time. So you just wonder, if this was a conference game, would Chandler Burks have come out? It's a non-conference game on the road. He did take a beating there in the first half. You know that Coach Bohannon wants to get Daniel David some snaps. This was an opportunity to see how he responded to that. And I thought he played well. There was that ugly fumble there late in the game, and I believe he had an interception as well.
Yeah.
But all in all, as you're – backup quarterback coming in when you've got Chandler Burks, I think he did okay.
And obviously he didn't have anything to do with the Holland fumble.
Sure.
That was one that got pulled out as Darnell was going to the ground. There was a mix-up apparently on the option as he dropped, or what his options were as he dropped, and the ball wound up on the ground. It is what it is. The interception was probably one that he'd love to have back, but you know what quarterback isn't going to have a number of those during the year? A lot of times you're just fortunate and the ball gets batted away. This time the guy picked it and took it home.
Yeah, we also saw him throwing across his body into the midfield, and that's kind of like the big no-no. You don't do for Daniel David to do that.
Unless you're Tom Brady or something.
Right, but it was a completed pass and a first down on that play.
And a big one.
So, like you said, sometimes they're picked, sometimes they're batted down. You just got to be careful. You want to play smart football. Daniel David is a smart kid. He's a transfer coming in. They have all the confidence in the world for him to replace Chandler if he has to. And then you have Jake McKenzie behind him as well, who's got some snaps under center. So the depth at quarterback is something I think you're probably happy with if you're Coach Bohannon.
Well, the other two things worth noting, in this offense, quarterbacks are going to take a pounding. Let's face it. You know, you're distributing the ball every play. You're running the ball a number of plays yourself. You're being chased around by pass rushers when you have to throw the ball. And there is precedent for this. Daniel David, a tough road environment a year ago,
right,
comes into the game at Duquesne, plays the entire second half, and engineers one of the biggest wins of the year and played great. So there is precedent for it, and there is a lot of value in him getting through that and the team still getting a win.
Yeah, no doubt. And plus, you know, regardless of how Chandler Burks' injury, how significant it is, I mean, he's had 52 carries already on the season. That's double more than anybody else. I mean, you've got your lead running back, Darnell Holland, has got only 9 attempts, Shaq Terry with 10, Bronson Rechsteiner's with 22, and then Jake McKenzie with 27. No one's even approaching that number of 52.
Yeah.
So, you know, it gives Chandler Burks a chance to get on the sideline and get a rest. Knowing you got a bye week, it may have been really smart coaching by Coach Bohannon.
One of the things that you and I talked about on the way over there on Saturday that was good research on your part was the play of the corners for Alabama State. And they really did a good job, for the most part, of shutting down both Xavier Harper and Justin Sumpter in that game.
Yeah, we saw Tennessee Tech did as well. I mean, they had some tough corner containment there on the run game. Now, they did let Justin Sumpter get past them a couple times to Tennessee Tech. But going into the Alabama State game, their corners contain. They're athletes. There's no doubt about it. And they did a good job. And when you're a spread option offense and you're moving the pocket and your line's having to move and you're trying to run the ball on the outside, the containment was there. And Kennesaw State had trouble. And, you know, going into the season, you felt like that A-gap is where work had to be done.
Yeah.
If you can get 2 or 3 yards out of that A-gap, then that's going to open up the outsides, going to open up the passing game. And so far, we haven't seen that A-gap game improve very much. We've seen some little dunk passes, which we didn't see last year. Against Sanford, I thought Bronson Rechsteiner out of the backfield was a tremendous weapon there in the middle. And apparently defensive have pegged on that because the Owls haven't been able to do it all season long now. So that middle is going to be interesting to see how Kennesaw State attacks that A-gap and maybe tries that the middle of the field on the little dunk passes like a West Coast-type offense.
You know, in the two games since the Samford game, both these opponents, Tennessee Tech and Alabama State, have done a good job at taking away, for the most part, the receivers. So once you start to take away a certain part of the option, you can key on another part of it. And I thought Alabama State's front seven, really the guys in the box, did a very good job for them, too. They not only got to the football, but they were good tacklers.
Yeah, and they actually moved really well for a very big offensive line, and they put a lot of pressure on Chandler Burks. And you know, it's a thinking man's game when you're running a spread option offense. And when someone's in your back pocket, it's really hard to compose yourself and figure out what you're going to do. You know, Alabama State's a tough team. They're 0-2, right, going in, but they had shown that they have – I mean, they played Troy with the FBS program. Yeah. And it kind of got lopsided at the end, but it was 7-7 at the end of the first half. And they actually had a pick six against Troy. So that Alabama State, the barometer wasn't there with the record. They're a good football team. And when they put it together.
Stern test.
Yeah, Coach Jenkins said, execute the game plan. If they can execute, they'll be fine. He said it 45 times in a six-minute press conference. He was pretty clear. And they're just not executing the way they want to. But they took a step forward in the right direction against Kennesaw State at home. Last Saturday.
So the Owls step out of conference for their next game. That'll be September the 30th here at the Nest. And North Greenville will provide the opposition. But looking elsewhere around the Big South a little bit, you know, Charleston Southern goes to Elon. And actually, I figured that game to be a huge upset. Charleston Southern's ranked. And Elon is, I don't know what they have. We don't know a whole lot about them. But Elon wasn't one that's in the rankings or one that's in the discussion anywhere. But nonetheless, it kind of suggests that maybe with some of the players that Southern has moved on, and you never know how the game evolved because we didn't see it. We were busy with our own. It suggests maybe they're a little bit more vulnerable than we might have seen them be the last couple of years.
They had a game canceled because of the storms that come through. So Charleston Southern is actually only 0-2 on the season. They've only played two games, and both have been lopsided losses. So It's
new coach too.
New coach. You just never know how these teams are going to respond. A lot of pressure on them. A lot of pressure on the coaching staff. They did not get off to a good start. They've only scored 17 points to opposing teams playing scoring 68 points.
Right. You factor in though that FBS Mississippi State was their opener.
That's
but
right.
You're right. I mean, they're yet to experience any success, and at this stage, that's pretty unusual for them.
And you wonder if. When you have a game planned and then a storm or something, they had to evacuate did Southern because they thought that storm was going to come up the East Coast. It just kind of disrupts everything. And, we'll see if that lingers. And they have another big game this weekend. And, you know, you expect that they're going to pull it together as the conference approaches. And, that's what matters is right now. FCS teams, it's the conference, and that's what that's where they're warming up for, gearing up for now.
Well, and that's what the Owls need to focus on. You know, you're fortunate to some extent to be 2-1, but on the other hand, you could easily be 3-0. So there are some positives, certainly, to be 2-1 at this stage here early in the 2017 season. Bryson Armstrong, we've talked a lot about already, but named Big South Defensive Player of the Week. This on the heels of being the Freshman of the Week the week before. This guy's going to win a lot of awards in an Owls uniform.
Yeah, I think he was also National Player Freshman of the Week. And that's what's so great about football. He's a young kid. It's college football especially. He's a young kid. Kennesaw State had a gap at linebacker. Who's going to fill in? I don't know that we talked about Bryson Armstrong a whole heck of a lot, but, boy, Coach Bohannon talked about him after the spring game and after the camps were done. He knew he was going to be something special, and he has not disappointed on the field.
This is the Final Word podcast. We try to get one of these in for you every week throughout the 2017 season. Brian Giffen, Nathan McCreary, Tutan Reyes, and Brandon Joseph not here, both off on a secret, double-secret assignment somewhere. So we're just trying to hold the rope for you ourselves, kind of like the Owls defense did last Saturday at Alabama State. And, again, we remind you that the Owls will take on North Greenville here. That'll be a 7 o'clock game. It's a 3:30 game. A 3:30 game. That would put us on the air at 3 o'clock straight up Eastern time on that Saturday over 1230 The Fan 2, 106.3 FM. Both of those, of course, here in the Atlanta area. And then you can pick it up online at atlantasportsstation.com. You can also go get – or if you have the TuneIn app, you can actually go on the TuneIn app and find 1230 The Fan 2. As we look ahead, Nathan, before we close this thing out, obviously the Owls have got a lot of things to work on, but they've got 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah, and that's an early bye in the season can afford you your team to get a little bit of that recovery time. Any lingering injuries, we certainly hope TP, which looked like a hamstring injury there at Samford, didn't play the full game, didn't play at all Tennessee Tech or Alabama State. So those kind of lingering injuries, 2 weeks could be a really a nice time to recover and get him back on the field. And outside of that, Coach Mahanin said they've been very fortunate. They just haven't had that injury bug so far. We'll see what happens with Chandler. It'll be interesting to see him practice this week if he's taking snaps or they're just going to let him have another week off. But, you know, all in all, you got to think Chandler Burks is playing well. I think they'd like to get Bronson Rechsteiner some more carries up the middle and really establish that A-gap. I think they still would like to go down the field with Zay Harper and Justin Sumpter, clearly. But the defense has just been the highlight of the season right now for Kennesaw State, something we knew they could be there, but it's always the offense because you're putting up 50-some-plus points a season ago or two even in the first season. It's the defense right now for Kennesaw State they're going to have to lean on. So it'll be interesting to see coming out of the bye how they respond and are they healthy. Chandler Burks back under center, TP back on the line, and then they can kind of start the season. And that grind for the rest of the season is real.
Well, the other thing worth noting, of course, as we sit here 3 weeks into this season, you know, the first 2 years, your opponents at this time of the year were more likely to be an Edward Waters or a Point, and this is nothing against any of them, but your opposition has been ramped up a good bit. And, you know, the one way you're going to get better is to play better competition. The Owls are certainly doing that in 2017.
When the schedule came out and you looked and you saw Samford opening up, Tennessee Tech following, and then an Alabama State which plays out of the SWAC, it's always up and down. I mean, they even right now, they could still win that conference.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very, very tough. So, it was an eyebrow raiser to see the teams that are on that schedule. And you still have Texas Southern and then your conference schedule coming up. So you're not out of the woods yet. That non-conference against Texas Southern should be tough. It's here at home, back-to-back home games off the bye before you go on the road to open the conference. But, this schedule is significantly more tough than a season ago. And this is what and I think they're fortunate to come out of the first three games with as little injuries as they have. So I think Bohannon probably puts that as a little green check mark of we've made it through the first three games into the bye season without a significant injury.
Well, and the other thing you do is now you have your bye, and some people would say a bye 3 weeks into the season might be a little bit early, but this one I think comes at the perfect time. You're still not to conference play, but you got a chance to regroup, you got a chance to clean some things up, and then take on a couple more non-conference opponents before you get into the Big South grind.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about strategy and, you know, placing those bye. Sometimes you don't have an option, especially with Kennesaw State coming in and only being a three-year program. Their options for schedules is very, very limited. Now you're going to start seeing it open up. And you'll see a couple FBS programs on their schedule moving forward likely. Those NAIA and Division III teams and Division II teams even are going to start going away. And the schedule is going to continue to get tougher and tougher. And it'll be interesting to see if Coach Bohannon likes that early bye or maybe he tries to work in a bye later on in the season. And I don't know. I haven't checked the Big South schedules, who's got the latest bye. But those late byes also can really help your team. With Charleston Southern having a game canceled, you know, they're going to have an extra bye. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, this is the Final Word podcast. Again, we try to mix one of these in for you every week here at KSUOwls.com. Brian Giffen, Nathan McCrary, and we invite you again to tune in not this weekend, but the following weekend when the Owls get back on the field to take on North Greenville. That is a 3:30 kick with a 3 p.m. Eastern time pregame show here on 1230 The Fan, well, on 1230 The Fan 2 and 106.3 FM and at AtlantisSportsStation.com. Nate, thanks. Enjoy it as always.
Yes,
enjoy
sir.
Your own bye week, and we'll see you about 11 days.
That sounds great.
All right, that'll do it for our podcast this week. We thank you for tuning in, and stay tuned to KSUOwls.com all season long for regular updates on Kennesaw State University football. Thanks again, everybody.